All right. Do we have somebody for the young folks? I know Camille is, huh? Yep, they do. So young folks, you can follow the older folks to next door. The older young folks to next door. Mr. Peters, when is your last day? Today is Mr. Peters' last day. He's going to be leaving to go home and be used by God. So we're going to pray for him today that God is going to use him. So don't let me forget. I know his stuff is packed and probably already on the ship in containers. So he is going. You know, some people come to America with a vision to go back. Some people like me, not. But, you know, so I guess we're in the right place in Matthew chapter 10. In Matthew chapter 10. To tell you the truth, I think the whole chapter should be preached at once, but we're not going to do that, hopefully. But I think the whole chapter should be preached at once. This is a good chapter to look at. I have, you know, I've read a few commentaries and all of that, but and one of the things I do is I always look at the text, see what I believe the Lord is telling me first before I even go to a commentary to see what the person is saying. Yeah, is saying. Because sometimes I want to say it, but they help me to say it better. And sometimes they may have something I didn't see at all, and I said, wow. But let's read. He called to him his 12 disciples and gave them authority over unclean spirit to cast them out and to heal every disease and every affliction. The name of the 12 apostles are these. First, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, Philip, and Bartholomew, Thomas, and Matthew, the tax collector, James, the son of Alphaeus, and Simeon, and Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed him. Now, the first thing, before I even go further, the first thing I saw here, there is different. Do you notice that Jesus didn't just call everybody from the same place, the same profession? I like how I'm going to read you exactly what the commentator said, because I thought he put it well. So, and he said, this was a major step for Jesus, and he made his choice after a night of prayer. These men carried on his mission and extended into all the world. As we look at the persons, we see they are ordinary men from the community in which he ministered. And they were a group with great variety of backgrounds and personalities. Wait a minute. Various backgrounds, various personalities. And yet they're getting along to do the ministry. Lord help us here. Peter is named first, for he's often referred to as the leader in the 12. Next, his brother Andrew, then another set of brothers, James and John. Philip, he was a scholar. So here we started off with what? Fishermen. Now we have a scholar. and they all get in. They all get along to do the ministry. Okay, all right. Find my place, scholar. Okay. The scholar and Bartholomew came next, followed him by Thomas, the man who wanted to be certain before acting. Do we have any people like that? He wanted, what did he say? he wanted to examine. I shouldn't put it there. He wanted to examine to make sure that Jesus really rose from the dead. He wanted to make sure it was done. He had to see it to believe it. Matthew designated him as the twin leader. Some scholars to suggest that he and Matthew were twin brothers. Okay, where am I? Twin brothers. Matthew named himself as the tax collector, a role in which would have marked him as a traitor to the Jewish community. So here's another one of the disciples, a tax collector, not really liked by the Jews. He's the son of Alphaeus, and therefore brother of James the least. The same group, including Simeon, who Luke called the zealot. These men worked together as disciples. The other include James, the son of Alphaeus, that guy. And finally, Judas Iscariot. And who is that? A traitor was among them. And Jesus knew this. He was from Kuriath, making him the only one of the 12 who was from Galilee. Such a variety, this is the verse I like. Such a variety could not have worked together apart from their common commitment to Jesus. Let me read that again. Such a variety could not have worked together apart from their common commitment to Jesus. People of radical differences can discover how to love each other in the presence of Jesus. I'm going to read that again. Because when I read this, this ministered to me in my studies. It says this: people of radical differences can discover how to love each other in the presence of Jesus. People of radical differences. Now, I could tell you something. Me and Ed have radical differences. I could tell you that right now. But guess what? We work together. Some people come, they have a problem. I don't have any problem. And we have radical differences. I remember, he probably still mentioned it to me today, that one time I said, I could just see myself going down to Ford, it wasn't a Ford that time, I was into Chevy then. I was going to get a Z, brand new Z, 71 4x4, and drive it off of that parking lot. Boy, I heard from Ed for years. I mean, years. He's different from me. He would never buy a new one. He would rather somebody else do the depreciation. I want the smell. Today you can. Today you can buy the smell. I want to tell everybody, I own this thing, brand new, one owner. You know, but difference. You know, we all have radical differences. Now, here's the thing. Ed says this all the time. He could tell you something and he could rub you wrong. Me, I look for the nice way to tell it to you, because I don't want your feelings hurt. Sometimes I pray. I said, God, help me, you know, help me to be able to relate this and it doesn't cause a conflict. Radical differences. We all come from different backgrounds. I come from Trinidad. He's from Brazil. Some of you from Florida, some from Ohio. Some of us black, some of us white. Different cultures, different way we do things. But when you are in the presence of Jesus, we have to know how to get along. Hear what it says there. People of radical different can discover. They can discover how to love each other. But are we willing to know, to discover how we... You know, Jesus says this, a house divided against itself, what would happen to it? It cannot stand. Why do you think we go from church to church? Why do you think that happens? Why do you think after a while, you come and you say, oh man, God sent me. God said, this is the place. And when you come, you realize we have radical differences. But you do not know how to discover what God wants you to discover, how to work together in spite of your differences. Jesus had 12 disciples. I don't know how a fisherman could relate to a scholar. Their language was quite different. In fact, the fisherman had to probably clean up his language a little bit. Folks, we as believers, not just believers, we who are here as part of Shalom Christian Fellowship, we have to discover how to get along in the presence of Jesus. You know what? I discovered because I endured. Now, some people don't want me to be personal. I like to be personal. I like to tell you what my struggles are and how God delivered me. I tell you, when I first ate, boy, Ed got under my skin. And when I say under my skin, he got under my skin a lot. But I was never the type to jump ship. I was never the type to give up. I always was the type to hang in there till the end. And because I hang in there, and because I pray, and because God started to let me discover that we can work together in his presence. Sometimes we don't discover God's blessing because we are ready to run. We are ready to say, I can't take it anymore. When God has placed us there for a reason. I was listening to a sermon this week, and the guy said something, and I couldn't shake it all week. Sometimes our greatest pain can become our greatest blessing. But all we can see at the time is the pain. But we don't realize if we would endure and obey and follow God's instructions, our greatest pain can become our greatest blessing. So here I am at the Alliance Church. Went there. Ed is there. I can't remember if you were there and I came. They were already there and I came. Somebody asked me. Now, I just had graduated from college and I sent my resume out, you know, the thing that you do. I got my diploma. I know I'm called. And this church in Pennsylvania write me back. They wanted me to come. And for some reason, I said, should I tell them they're ready to send me the plane ticket so I could come and candidate there? That's what they call it. And I said, should I tell them Should I tell them? And something tell me I should tell them. So I call up the head elder and I said to him, well, I want you to know before I get there that my wife is white. Well, he knew I was black just by my accent. And he said, I'll call you back. The day later he called me back, he said, we are not ready for that. But I worked on the grounds crew at Tocoa Falls, and the grounds crew guy was going to be a missionary in Haiti. It fell through, and he ended up in Warner Robins. He liked the way I led worship, so he talked to the church, and they called me and wanted me to know if I come and do worship for them. No pay, voluntary. And I said yes. And I came down to the Alliance Church, and that's how I got here. And I was a little charismatic. When I say I was charismatic, I was a little charismatic. Just a tiny bit. When I led worship and I led my hands out like this and spin around, everybody watch out. And after a while, I was a little too charismatic for the pastor. And I told the pastor, I said, I don't think, after incident one Sunday morning, I told the pastor, you know what? I think we believe differently, radically differently. I said, so what I'll do is I'll just put in my resignation and give me 2 weeks and I'll tell the people I love them, tell them bye. And he said to me, he said, nope, go right now. The people never knew why I left. So I start going to a church right up the hill here called Shalom Christian Fellowship. And about a month later, here comes Ed with his family. And nice. So now Ed used to play guitar, so he's playing now. I'm leading worship. Now, when I went to that church, I don't know why I'm telling all of this. When I went to this church, I didn't go there to do any ministry. I was hurt so much by the church, my plan was to sit in the back pew because I love God. So I'm not going to give up on God, but I sure gave up on the church. So I was going to sit on the back pew and do nothing. Up to this day, I really cannot tell you how I get from the back pew to lead in worship. And here comes Ed, and now he's my lead musician. After about a long time, I think it's a long time, could be 14 years, I can't remember. It was a long time. Pastors change in the church. Things started to be different. And I hang in there for 2 years. I wanted to go for a long time, 2 years. And then finally the pastor kind of tell me in a nice way, I got to go. So I left and I went to a church in Macon, but because for years they've been asking me to come and be their worship leader. They call it music minister there. They didn't call it worship. So I called them up and said, do you all still want me to come and be your worship leader? And sure enough, they said yes, and I went there in Macon. But a month later, here comes Ed and his family. What is going on? I don't know. Here is the man that gets under my skin. When you are serving God together, you're going to discover how to love each other when you're in the presence of Jesus. We were there for 2 years. One day I went to work. I was managing Sears Automotive in Macon. Going to work early in the morning, getting home late at night. And one day my DM showed up and I said, I'm getting fired today. Do I ask me how I just knew I was getting fired today. And sure enough, I got fired. And driving home, I knew the reason why I got fired. I was disobeying God. God had told me to start a church a long time ago. And I tell God, there's so many churches, I could just go be part of one. Not only that, I'm comfortable. I'm making enough money that we are comfortable. You go start a church, what's going to happen? Well, I go and I tell Ed that I got to start a church. And Ed says to me, I was wondering how long it was going to take you. So we started in my house. And we started there for a while. Then Ed get the business, and here we are today. Sometimes, some of your pain could be your greatest blessing. Sometimes God is lining you up for a great future. And when you run away and you don't deal with relating to others that is in the family of God and knowing how to love each other in the presence of Jesus, I believe we lose out on great blessings. Ed is one of my best friends. And you know how I know that? I do not have to tell Ed every day I love him. Do you know I don't have to even hug Ed every Sunday for him to know I love him? But I'm pretty sure Ed knows I love him. I don't even have to ask. Folks, in spite of our radical differences, we can discover how to love each other in the presence of Jesus. Then Jesus, here's the part I think, boy, Jesus, hallelujah. After Jesus tell them that the harvest is plentiful and the laborers is few, he sends them out. They were trained. Man, they were trained how to get along, because this is what Jesus says. By your love, they will know. So when they went out, they had a love for each other. Then Jesus says, go and preach the message. These 12, Jesus said, well, let me make sure I'm not going back. These 12, Jesus sent out instructing them, go nowhere among the Gentiles, and enter into no town of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and proclaim as you go, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the leper, cast out demons. You receive without paying, give without pay. I gotta hurry up. So Jesus says, go. Then he tells them, don't worry. Then he tells them, you will experience trouble. If you read that passage, go. And hear what? The message was a simple message. I don't know why we want to complicate the gospel. You know, we like to complicate the gospel. It was simple. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. You know, if I wanted to make the message simple today and I had to preach on a corner, I said, repent, Jesus is coming back. Isn't that a simple message? I guarantee you, everybody who hears those words in America will know exactly what I mean. Repent, Jesus is coming back. They may not agree with it, but it's repent, Jesus is coming back. We make the gospel message too complicated. I guarantee you, every Jew that heard that message, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. They knew exactly what those disciples were saying because they've been waiting. Then he empowers them. Do you know, I love Jesus, you know. I love the Lord. I mean, I just love the Lord. He is not going to send you anywhere without giving you what it takes to do the job. And I agree with that with all my heart. If Jesus could take a young man from a third world country that cannot read, send him to college, give him a college education, just because he called him, guess what? He can do the same to you. If Jesus can take fishermen who didn't know anything about the gospel and make them ready to preach the gospel, he can do the same to you. Do you know in the Bible it says people was astonished when they speak? Because these people, they're not learned. They're kind of stupid. They only know how to catch fish. All they know is just to throw a net over and just start pulling. In fact, their job, it really ain't much. Once they throw it in the right spot and start pulling, they're bound to catch something. But he took them. And he equipped them and gave them what they needed to do the task that was ahead of them. He says, go, lay hand on the sick, they will be recovered. Go, you will cast out demons. Folks, I know Mr. Peters, he's heading back. And there got to be some kind of a little bit of anxiety there. A little bit of the unknown there. But what? Once you are obeying God, once it's God calling on your life and he is sending you, just like he says, the harvest is plentiful over there. And I need laborers and I'm sending you. He says, I am going to equip you with everything you need. And then he says, don't worry. He says, okay, where am I? Verse what? 9? Oh, I'm in the wrong place, that's why. Acquire no gold, nor silver, nor copper, for your belt, no bag for your journey, nor 2 tunics, nor sandals, nor staff, for the laborer deserves his food. Now, as a preacher, I don't like to preach this. I'd rather call in a special speaker to say this. But according to this text, now, I don't know how long they did this, but let me tell you something. They were going into full-time ministry. It may have been a short time, but it was full-time. And Jesus says, when you go, you will be provided for. He said, don't take anything. I can take care of you. In fact, you know what? It's amazing how God does stuff. I mean, it's just, I don't know if you guys even see the amazement. He said, and don't just stay at anybody's house. He said, do your research. And the ones who are worthy, you go there. And what? Guess what's going to happen? They will take care of your needs. You don't have to worry about it. Because I want your attention on what your purpose is about. You see, sometimes when you have a two jobs, your purpose sometimes are divided. But when you are single-minded, you can just do what Jesus wanted you to do. And guess what? Some of them were married. I wonder what the wife think. Look at Jesus. Jesus is just taking my husband. Jesus is just taking, look at the church. They just have my husband. They're going out now. I don't know how long he'll be gone. He should be out there fishing. And you know, I know some of them was married. Jesus healed his mother-in-law. Even Paul said in Corinthians, he said, and some of them had their wives. But you know what's wrong with us? We are so into the flesh that we cannot see God's calling and God's purpose in people's life and come alongside and say, yes, go for it. Because it's better for you to pile up your treasures in heaven than on earth. We could say, yes, I agree with what you're doing, because God's purpose is more important than my purpose. Help me, Jesus. I don't like to preach this, but it's here. And this is what I see. I'm amazed. I'm thinking, wait a minute. You didn't say anything. Call home and go get your bag and spend a few days. Jesus said, go. Don't even pack a bag, because I'm going to take care of your needs. And I believe when he said that, he meant all their family needs also. And he said, don't just go anywhere. You see, sometimes we don't take time to seek God in anything. We just do whatever we want. They had to ask God, where, you think they will go and just, all right, I'm going to go. I bet you they were praying, Lord, who should I go to? Where should I go? And when Jesus, when they go to the right place, their needs are taken care of. And then do you know that that person who takes care of their needs gets blessed? Do you all see that in here? It says, if they received you, okay, hold on. Where am I at again? 13. I'm back in the wrong place. I don't know how I keep doing that. 13. And if the house is worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if the house is worthy, let your peace come upon it. When God is doing a work in somebody's life, when God have a calling on somebody's life and you bless them, God will bless you. And you know, I know that the Bible said if you give a prophet a drink of water in the name of prophet, you shall get a prophet's reward. I wonder if these people who house these apostles got an apostle reward. Don't know. And then it says this. 13. But if not worthy, let your peace return to you. So here's the thing this morning. You could be blessed or not blessed. You could be blessed or not blessed by the actions you take towards God's people who are called to the purpose of his calling. Give me a few more minutes. Then he says, 14, and if anyone will not receive you or listen to your words, shake off the dust from your feet when you leave that house or town. Truly I say to you, if it will be more bearable on the day of judgment for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah than for that town. We all, including every human person that hears the gospel and do not obey it, will be held accountable. Your job as a laborer is to share the message. And then he says, you're going to experience trouble. Mr. Peters, it's not all going to be smooth sailing. I would love it to be. I desire it to be. I pray that God will open up the door so wide you have no trouble at all. But when I look in Scripture, it's not going to be smooth sailing. Behold, I am sending you out as a sheep in the midst of wolves. So be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. Here is it. I'm going to stop there. I don't know how many of you have dealt with sheep. If you're in a third world country, most likely you have. I used to have sheep. When Jill saw them, Jill called them goat. I called them sheep all my life. So let's pretend they're sheep. Do you know, we didn't have, you know, right now we have 10 acres. You could just let the sheep go and run. We didn't have that. We had to buy about rope. And we would put a rope around his neck and tie each one out. We had about 6 to 8 sheep. And that was my job. I had to tie them out before I go to school. And when I come home, before it gets too dark, I had to go untie them. And once you untie them, they run straight home. They just knew the way. But ever so often, the rope would get around their neck. Do you know those sheep would not make a sound? They would let that rope choke them to death without them make a sound. Do you know that the dogs, certain times of the year, we don't know what will happen with these dogs. They would want to kill those sheep. And then the sheep don't make no noise. They just get butchered. And here's what Jesus says. I'm sending you out like sheep among wolves. I never experienced wolves. But he says this, be wise as a serpent, but harmless as a dove. This morning I was looking up some characteristics of snakes. I wanted to know, why be wise as one? Do you know that there are some snakes, you can't find them because they blend in so... I mean, when they blend in, they blend in. Do you know a snake could slither away and you didn't even know you were around a snake? Just, it's gone. Snakes could blend in and snakes knows how to get away pretty quickly. And snakes are usually not on the attack unless you come into their territory and you disturb them. But you know, snakes could be very deadly. Some snakes, when I say very deadly. In fact, I didn't notice. Do you know that some snakes could have 2 heads? Do you know that? I did not know that. Snakes could be born with 2 heads. I saw it on the computer, and I guess anything you see on the internet is true. And it says that one head would fight the other head for the food. They don't even have unity. But Jesus, when he sends you out, he doesn't want you to be as dangerous as a snake. But he wants you to have the cunningness of a snake, of how to get away, how to save yourself. You know, the first thing I thought about is, let's look at the first experience of a snake in the Bible. Do you know a snake? That snake was a very convincing snake. I mean, that snake was good. That snake took the word of God and were able to turn a pure person to sin. And this is how I address that. We, when we are sent, should be able to take the word of God and be very persuasive with it. Not using it cunningly, but using it persuasively. Not doing like the serpent in the beginning of in Genesis, but using the pure word of God and saying what God says and using it and win souls. And the other thing is, we should not be, as believers, killing people, because a serpent is very deadly. A serpent is very deadly. Do you know, as we share the word, we could injure people if we are not careful. That's why we need not to be like so. We need to be harmless like a dove. You know, back home I used to see doves all the time. I don't see them here much. I think I saw a few in my backyard, but I used to see them all the time. You know, they don't hurt anybody. I've never heard of a dove killing somebody. I should have looked on the internet, because, you know, but I've never heard of it. If you have, tell me. I've never seen a dove attack somebody. We, as we go to spread the gospel, we shouldn't go attacking. We need to be wise like the serpent, but we need to be harmless like the dove. So today, I told Mr. Peters, when he gets there and he starts his ministry, he needs to let us know, because he may need something that we can help him with. And I pray that that's what we will do. Because from the time he started coming here, he stayed committed. And the time, you know, he's leaving, he's ministered among us. I sure wish he had one more Sunday, because I actually wanted us to eat together. You know how you do all that Christian stuff. But if he would come, and if we would gather around him and send him off with the blessing of God. So Mr. Peters and I always say it wrong.